The New Zealand Tech Podcast, brought to you by Guerrilla Technology, proactive and strategic IT.
Hey folks, greetings and welcome along to the New Zealand Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Spain. Today, I'm just going to delve into some of the smart home gadgets and technologies that I've been using recently. This includes the new Amazon Echo Hub, which creates a new way of being able to control your smart home devices, potentially with a wall-mounted unit that gives you that touch and voice control panel for your smart home. Also going to delve into a fairly new presence sensor in the market in New Zealand. It's quite unique. We haven't seen this from any other vendor. This is from a more obscure company, but is available locally in the New Zealand market. Also, a little bit about smart lighting and one of the newest Ring doorbells that I've been trying out. So a big thank you to our show partners, 1NZ, Spark, 2 Degrees, HP, and Guerrilla Technology. First up from Amazon, the Echo Hub. Now, this is recently launched in New Zealand and also other parts of the world. And what makes it different from all the other sort of Amazon Echo devices that we've got around the place in terms of speakers and screens and so on, is that this is really designed to be a smart home control device first and foremost. So it's not really geared up for you to sort of consume a lot of content and watch videos on, or to have it playing music to you. Most often with an Amazon Echo, it's a voice controlled device, and we're getting it to sort of respond back to us, setting alarms and things like that. But when it comes to smart home control panels, this has been an area that's pretty expensive to get into, and the sort of devices that have been available, they've been around for a long time in varying forms. I mean, I'm thinking back 20 years ago, where it was possible to have some of these smart control panels. You might have them in a sort of high-end boardroom or a high-end home where you've got one of these touch screens and you can open and close blinds and turn on and off varying bits and pieces of technology. And look, the Amazon Echo Hub does all of that. You can wall mount it in a particular spot, or you can have it so it can sit on a table. So there's accessories to help with that. Out of the box, it's geared up for that wall mounting. But I guess what stands out is this is part of that Amazon ecosystem. It uses, of course, Alexa for its voice control, but it is very much able to be controlled as a touchscreen, and is very, very good at that. So things like turning on and off lights, adjusting brightness. The varying smart home sort of systems that you might have. I've got it linked up to my air conditioning, so I can adjust that. If you've got a security system, such as things like the Ring cameras and Ring doorbell, those things integrate in with it. And in fact, when I plugged it in and fired it up, it brought up the sort of four cameras at home, came straight onto the screen, so you could see that current activity. So it gives you a really nice layout where you can tap in and control things, and as well as see what's going on. But you can, being an Echo device, you can of course use your voice, and so one of the things that I set up when I set up the Amazon Echo Hub was a little control device for power on a fan that I had at home. And rather than having to walk over and turn it on and off, I just put a smart power plug behind it, and then I was talking to Amazon Echo, either sort of tapping on the screen or using my voice, and basically telling it to turn on or turn off the fan. And of course, we can do that across a whole wide sort of ecosystem of smart home devices now. So, you know, really for me, it sort of stands out and it gives you that sort of, you know, very, very nice and capable smart home control panel, but without breaking the bank and it being now, you know, that capability that you know, is much more accessible for those who are really wanting to upgrade their home, or they're doing some sort of refresh. This is the sort of thing that you can, you know, either work into your build or your renovation, or you can find, you know, somewhere in an existing property to be installing, you know, one or more of these devices of the Echo Hub. Couple of things of note: standard comes with a USB-C power connection. You can also get an adapter to use power over Ethernet if that's what you've kind of got, you know, running around your house. You've got Ethernet cabling and those power over Ethernet capabilities. That's another way to make it very easy without there having to be a big plug. So that's nice. It has built-in smart home type communication capabilities that you might want today. So it communicates over Wi-Fi, but also Zigbee, Matter, Thread, you know, Bluetooth, low energy, and also connects to the Amazon Sidewalk network, or can share your internet connection with that if that's something that you want to turn on. We won't delve into that today, but something worth looking up if you're curious. This is very much that sort of dual communications capability. Use your voice or use touch. One of the recommendations with the Amazon Echo Hub is, look, if you're wanting it to pump out music and so on, you're probably not going to want it coming out of the little sort of speakers. It's really a little tablet that's designed to be mounted somewhere. It doesn't have great audio, you know, or even a stunning screen. It's not, you know, designed to output that. You're really wanting to link it to other devices in your home. You know, have it control aspects of your TV or your hi-fi system. But as that control device, very, very good. $370. Certainly, you know, cheaper than I guess a current iPad, and it really is designed for that sort of, you know, mounting type situation, be it on the wall or getting a stand, you know, to put it on, you know, maybe a coffee table in the lounge and so on. So yeah, well worth looking at if you've invested into sort of smart home system and you're just wanting to take that a little step further. Then this is a nice addition, and it means you're not always having to go back to your smartphone for the certain things you might want to tap into. Just, you know, opens up another mechanism through which you can control your varying, you know, automations and smart home things. And of course, you know, we talked about those smart control panels that have been around for a long time for adjusting blinds and, you know, turning on your coffee machine or whatever other, you know, bits and pieces that you want to automate. And, you know, of course, it can do those sorts of things as well. So, yeah, nice capability. Nice to see Amazon sort of consistently launching, you know, really most of their products when it comes to the Echo products and the Ring products now, generally coming through pretty consistently into the New Zealand market and often at the same time as the rest of the world. Okay, so let's talk around some of the sort of smart home devices that I've been using. And of course, these integrate well with the Amazon Echo Hub, but largely, you know, will also integrate, you know, with other systems, you know, such as what Google are doing with Google Home, and also with Apple as well. So first up, this one's interesting, the Akara presence sensor. It's called the FP2 is the model. Now this is really really a fascinating device, because what it lets you do is, if we compare it to a traditional sort of motion sensor, which just sort of tells you that somebody walked past or somebody's moving, what the Akara FP2 does is it allows you to tell whether there's presence in a room or not. So that's kind of the first level, and that's how it would normally sort of interact with the Alexa world is it would be able to, you know, say, look, there's somebody in the room or not somebody in the room. And it's largely pretty accurate. But if you actually use the software that Acara provide, you can go to a whole nother level. Now, it's using millimeter wave technology, which is, you know, one of those terms we're familiar with from the 5G mobile world. But it's basically able to sort of map out in a room and break a room down into sort of small chunks. And it's able to work out where people are within a room. And it's not, there's no camera element, but using that technology, it can kind of map out where somebody is in a room and also be able to detect things such as are they sitting up or lying down. So you can use that to do some sort of smart things. You know, you jump into bed and, hey, it can work out there's a body there and you're lying down. So it could turn your lights out for you. Or when you stand up in the morning, you could have the presence sensor then sort of trigger, oh, you're up. And then, you know, it's triggering, you know, lights going on, music, whatever it is, and so on. So, and you could do those different sort of routines potentially based on likes of, you know, time of day and whatnot. So there's some interesting possibilities. Now, I haven't delved in, you know, too deep on all of those possibilities with the Acara FP2. It is still rare as hen's teeth, so you really have to look out to find these in New Zealand at the moment. But I was very pleased to get my hands on one some months ago. There are other presence sensors on the market. They tend to not have as much range, so they don't work with rooms as large as the Acara FP2, and their software, their own software, tends to not have the levels of smarts that the Acara does in terms of being able to map out a room and then do sort of smart stuff based on, you know, people being present in different parts of the room and turning on different things based on where you might be sitting. If you're lying down on a bed or lying down on a sofa, or sitting at a table to have dinner and so on. So that's really where the Acara FP2 sort of stands out, is they've gone that next level with their own software. You don't necessarily have access to that in all of the smart home tools, though, at this point. So worth being aware of. Another gadget, look, for many years I've found that the Ring doorbells and their Ring video devices integrate well into a smart home, particularly with Alexa, since Amazon acquired the Ring products. So I recently tried out their newest, which is the Ring Battery Video Doorbell Pro. Big, long name, but, you know, basically what we have now with Ring is they've got across really a whole range of models of these video doorbells, and from, you know, some that you'll get, you know, for not much over the $100 price point, and they've also got some, you know, some cameras at that sort of price point, up to the sort of $500 or more range for some of their Pro products. The Ring Battery Video Doorbell Pro, I've found, you know, works. Pretty well, and it's certainly a step up on some of the older devices. You've got a what they call 1536p HD video, as well as color night vision. So a little bit of a step up in resolution, and that night vision being color rather than often they're black and white. They've got what they refer to as 3D motion detection with bird's eye view that actually uses a radar technology to more accurately do motion detection. And they've got things like their quick replies and Audio Plus that lifts the audio quality. Quick replies allows you to have, you know, convenient sort of pre-recorded messages that you can send. You see somebody's at your door, you're not really in a position to answer it, and you can have those things set up. And also, being one of their higher-end doorbells, it'll work with both the sort of 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi, which is maybe a little bit more old school, but, you know, most Wi-Fi systems will still offer that 2.4 gigahertz today, as well as 5 gigahertz. So there's you know some pros and cons of each there. The 2.4 gigahertz tends to get further, but can be lower performance. So you know there might be some situations where you would get a benefit of the 5G Wi-Fi. Also, the 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi is prone more to interference because there's only a small number of channels available. And you also have that option of either hardwiring or going with the battery setup. So it comes with the battery, so it's designed to run that way, but you can also hardwire it, I believe, which is very handy because if you've got a lot of motion happening around your doorway, you know, depending on whether there's car parks and things like that not nearby, you might get a lot of activity, which can run your battery down more in the 2 to 3 month direction rather than the 6 to 12 month you know direction that they often sort of indicate. So that's certainly something to think about. So yeah, well worth you know looking at, and you know of course a range of other vendors in this space of home security cameras and doorbell cameras, but of course you know Ring were really the one to start these video doorbell cameras, and you know they've got I think these days a pretty good ecosystem when it comes to the cameras, the local apps, and then that you know pretty slick integration now with the Amazon Echo devices, particularly those with a video screen. And even integration into the likes of your Samsung TV. I got to say, we have that capability set up at home, and yeah, I'm it's not something I really find super helpful. And in fact, you got to weigh up whether it's more annoying than not to have you know motions or rings kind of trigger while you're maybe watching TV. But in some cases, you know, it's nice to have that that you know deep technology sort of integration, you know, from one technology tool to another. Pricing we're talking about around 300 to 350 New Zealand dollars. The prices do seem to move around a bit. As I said, you know, Ring and others certainly have a mix of price points that are covered. To get the best out of Ring, you do need to be fronting up for one of their subscriptions. So that's kind of quite a key consideration. If you're not already in the Ring ecosystem, then that you know might not be the track that you want to go down. They've got their basic subscription, which is just under $5 New Zealand a month or $50 a year. Their plus subscription, $15 a month or $150 a year, and the difference between the two subscriptions is that the basic is for just one device, and you can you know get two of those if you've got two devices, but the plus subscription will cover all the devices in your home location, and also there's a couple of other features with plus. You get extended warranties on your devices, some advanced capabilities in terms of notifications and video features. So those are things definitely important to research first before you jump into sort of you know security cameras and video doorbell type tech. So you kind of understand how they work out, and there are some options on the market that allow you to avoid a subscription. But then you know there are some flip sides to that. You know personally I've found that the convenience of the subscription's good, but then there are also you know security considerations that your data is sort of you know streaming off to a particular vendor. And I think if we look back sort of through the history, whether it's with Ring or others, we have seen a number of situations where there have been privacy concerns raised over time. So yeah, definitely you know give that some thought and research so you get something that really suits what you need. Probably the thing I've invested most in my smart home would be smart lighting. And look, there's a whole lot of different approaches you can take to smart lighting. There are, you know, budget light bulbs you can get on the likes of Temu and AliExpress and so on online that are cheap as chips. I've tended to stay with the Philips Hue lighting, and they've got some really nice product, but it is very much a premium priced product at this point in time. But it does work in well with really all of the smart home ecosystems, and you've got really good quality bright lights, and you've got all sorts of, you know, fancy things, light strips and battery based little lighting modules and things like that, portable for use around the house, outdoor lighting and so on. Their ecosystem continues to get better in terms of the range of lighting, but they're certainly not the only option in town, and they are the most expensive. So yeah, worth having a look, work out what you want, whether ease of use is kind of the number one thing for you, or whether it's, you know, it's the capabilities. And yeah, I've found that there really is a great choice on the market today when it comes to these sorts of things. And if you really wanted to get a smart home geared up, then, you know, maybe go and buy some of the options on the market and try them out for yourself, or do a bit of research and read the reviews. Certainly the Philips Hue lights, their ecosystem has improved over time, but maybe they're getting outdone in one area or another. So make your own judgment as to what you like to use. Part of the reason probably why you know, I'm still on the Hue lights is once you get a few, if you're using their app, which has become less relevant over time, but if you are using their app, then it's quite convenient having all those elements together and accessible through their app. But of course, as we move into a world where all of these things, you know, talk to each other, we're much more sort of standards based, and you don't necessarily so much need to use the proprietary apps, because so much is possible through the control of the likes of Amazon Echo Hub or these other control mechanisms, voice control and so on. Then, you know, the proprietary apps are, you know, over time becoming less important. Although I would say that you usually do get some specific features from those apps that are quite helpful. Well, thanks everyone for listening in to the New Zealand Tech Podcast. Hope you really enjoyed this one, and we have some great guests coming up over the next few weeks. So definitely stay tuned to the New Zealand Tech Podcast. Make sure that you're subscribed through whatever audio app you use, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and so on. Lots more to come. We are going to start touching back in with a bit more on these sort of gadget reviews from time to time. So if you've enjoyed hearing this content, then definitely keep in touch and let us know what other gadgets and technologies you would like to hear thoughts on and experiences on their usage. And of course, a big thank you to our show partners, 1NZ, Spark, 2 Degrees, HP, and Gorilla Technology. All right, Paul Spain signing out. See you on the next New Zealand Tech Podcast.
The New Zealand Tech Podcast, brought to you by Gorilla Technology, proactive and strategic IT.